Alá. En Los Ángeles, yo soy Fernando Velázquez.
Queremos recordarles que para este viernes estamos preparando un reporte sobre los últimos acontecimientos del derrame de British Petroleum en el Golfo de México. Hemos llegado al final de otra edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro agradecimiento a Telesur y a la Radio del Sur de Venezuela, al diario La Jornada de México, a la Radio de la ONU de Estados Unidos, al colectivo Más Voces de España y a todos los medios que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Mavi Alfonso y del director del proyecto, Fernando Velázquez, se despide Norma Martínez.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPad o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Para la audiencia de las radios donde no programan el Informativo Pacífica los viernes, pueden escuchar la edición del viernes y de toda la semana en kpfk.org.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides with a special co-host, Kerbucker Chris.
Hey, everybody.
And we'll be talking in a minute. And we're going to give you a little music to begin with.
Like a melody, it's haunting me. You're in my memory. You tell a story, telling me of the heart and what it imparts. Keep it in mind, don't leave it behind. I'll never forget you. You see me through. All I wanna do is be with you. Your face, it's every place. Just the touch of your hand takes me to wonderland. I'm never alone. Into my life you are sown. Don't ever disappear. Stay right here.
You.
That was a little bit of Vision Song Valerie, but goodness knows which of the numbers it was. I've got lots of different, I think these songs are somewhat mixed up, but she's a street singer, and she was singing, I guess, a night before last at the peace vigil, the peace camp, I should say, the vigil in front of the courthouse, the safe sleeping zone created by a number of activists supported by Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Ed Fry is the main kind of guiding light there. He's running for Congress, or he would have run for Congress if he'd gotten enough signatures. I think that's still probably less likely, but he's now looking at possibly other races, and right now he's around the issue of, tried to publicize the issue of civil rights for homeless people in the sleeping ban case, or cases. There are many of them. In the studio with me is Kerbugger Chris, who's, I don't know, sweating along with me in this hot studio. Are you sweating along?
I haven't been warm in so long. I live up on top of a mountain. I can't hear myself. So.
Well, I still like you, even if. Say something else.
Test. I've had bad luck with microphones, so there I am. Now I can hear a little bit of myself.
Well, you had the wrong mic was on. Oh, well.
All right. Well, we're trying. And, you know, no, I live on top of a mountain where it's very cold, and this is fine with me. Yeah, I mean, what you guys have done down there is I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think is really quite fantastic. And I got lots to say about it.
Yeah,
as the night progresses, I mean, I do want to give a news bulletin real quick.
Why don't you do that, Chris?
Well, I'd like to talk about all the fucking cops down on Pacific Avenue as I was walking up here. So perhaps you're trying to say maybe it's connected with this. Maybe they're doing a lockdown, preemptive lockdown on the avenue ahead of time. I don't know, but there's a lot of cops, and I didn't know they could drive around in gray city vans all hidden up like that. That was pretty spooky to see squads of them driving around in just city of Santa Cruz white panel trucks.
How many of those trucks did you see?
Two, exactly, to be honest. One with a team of two and one guy with just one. They all had freshly mimeographed sheets in their hands that they were carefully scrutinizing as they drove around. So I'm wondering if it's this or if it's a combination, and they appeared to be looking for things. Or
well, I think there is an Indy Bay update, and of course the Johannes Merzli verdict of involuntary manslaughter was just announced about an hour and a half ago in Los Angeles. Best I can. We have a caller, however, who may be calling about that or about something else. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert and Chris.
Hey, listen to your show, and I know why the cops are down there. It's because they're worried about whether there's going to be any riots right now.
This sounds like Vision Song Valerie to me.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
What was that song we just heard of yours, by the way?
Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I have to look it up myself, but I'm watching TV right now in Oakland, and they just reported in Santa Cruz that they have cops, but there hasn't been any riots. But people are pretty disappointed about the verdict on Oscar Grant, and there's a lot of people out in Oakland, out in the street, protesting and speeching about how unfair it was.
Right. Yeah, I know that they got a verdict of involuntary manslaughter. I haven't actually gone online to check out the specific details.
Yeah, I don't know if there actually is much yet, but the news report is basically that the family's really disappointed. They feel it was unfair, and it's pretty much, is unfair. I mean, for somebody to murder somebody and be given a 2 to 4 year sentence for murder, as the black people were saying as they were doing their speeches, if it was a white guy, it would have been way more than that.
Well, here's what we got here online. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Bill.
Vision Song. Anything else you want to report?
No, go ahead, and I just want to let you know that's why it was out there. People are worried about possible riots today at this time. The verdict was decided at 4 o'clock.
Thank you. Yeah, there is a rally against injustice and unchecked police aggression and murder, as it's so termed, on IndyBay.org, the website I often post on and that I suggest people check out for updates on the peace camp vigil against the sleeping ban at the county building that's been going into its fifth night tonight.
Woo-hoo.
I guess you'll be there, Chris, and so will I.
Oh, I will. Rude Bell's
and everybody's invited to come on.
I'm actually having fun, so.
Everybody's invited to come on down. Yeah, well, I'm having fun some of the time there. I'm mostly getting pretty sleepy. Oh, no. Kind of hard to sleep on that concrete, but there are more people joining the rally.
You'll get used to it.
I guess you counted 30 last night, something like that.
Is 30 is what I'm going to go with. Yeah, that's my
It's been growing. It started with 9 or 10 the first night on July 4th, and then every night thereafter it grew slightly by a small number. It's apparently a safe place where people feel they can come and sleep. And there has been some major Sentinel coverage of it. We're going to be talking about that and playing a lot of interviews from the county building and the various folks talking about it during the last four nights there. Just very quickly, though, here's an event coming up tomorrow at noon at Lincoln and Pacific. That's in front of the Del Mar Theater. There's going to be a rally to protest against the unjust verdict of Johannes Merzely for the murder of Oscar Grant.
Oh, boy.
Today, Merzely was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter, as our caller mentioned, the lowest charge he could have received next to acquittal. Converge downtown noon for a peaceful demonstration against police aggression and murder Friday noon downtown Santa Cruz.
I say again, oh boy.
So you may be down there, actually, because often you do, you're in that general area keeping an eye on the streets as you panhandle the population.
No, I'm commercially exploiting them. And as a person who wants to actually make a buck tomorrow down there, like all the other merchants and everybody else, as is my right under the American Constitution, yeah, I'm kind of concerned. Whatever.
Well, I wish you well with that. Let me read you about what's happening according to the L.A. Times.
There's the cat.
And there's a picture of the rather beefy-looking Johannes Merzely, former BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit officer, who shot to death in the back of the neck Oscar Grant III, January 1st, 2009. And the whole bit of his defense was it was a taser, which is both three times as big and has a different latch.
And it's bright yellow.
I mean, and he didn't say anything about it to anybody after it happened, except that I thought he had a gun, and there was no claim that he was using a taser initially because, frankly, I mean, who knows why, but it didn't sound persuasive in January of 2009. And in July of 2010, it sounds even less persuasive. Anyway, here's the story. Prosecutors accused Johannes Merzely of intentionally firing his handgun as he tried to handcuff Oscar J. Grant III on New Year's Day, 2009. Merzely testified that he thought he was pulling out an electric taser weapon and not a firearm. This is Jack Leonard of the L.A. Times writing. A former transit police officer who fatally shot an unarmed man at an Oakland train station was convicted of involuntary manslaughter Thursday, capping a racially charged case that raised fears in the Bay Area of possible violence after the verdict. And that's all we've been hearing on the radio as I drove down here. It's, oh, we're watching the crowds, Jane, and it looks like, oh, they're gathering over here, and who knows, other people are fleeing town. It's a sort of, there's nothing about the injustice of the whole situation or the huge over-policing of the area.
Right here. I'm weaving, man. Bye. You got me scared.
Prosecutors accused the ex-officer of intentionally firing his handgun as he tried to handcuff Oscar J. Grant III on New Year's Day, 2009. Johannes Merzely, 28, tearfully testified that the shooting was a tragic accident caused when he mistakenly grabbed his firearm instead of an electric taser weapon during a struggle with Grant. The shooting was captured on video by several witnesses. Merzely, who was white, fired a single round into the back of Grant, who was black, and was lying face down on the station platform. This isn't mentioning also that he was being held down by his fellow officer, Officer Perrone. So he was well contained, and apparently not contained enough for Johannes Merzely. Merzely, that's not in the story. Continuing with the story, Merzely resigned a week after the shooting. And also I will add to, without it seems even mentioning, he didn't undergo the usual kind of debriefing that police officers are supposed to do when these shootings occur. They're actually required by most police departments require them independently of, you know, anything else. So you have to talk about it. If you don't agree to that, you get fired, even though you're abandoning your Fifth Amendment rights. I guess people can resign, which is what he did. But again, the story continues. The killing provoked protests and violence in Oakland. Property damage, I might add. The cases which has drawn comparisons to the videotape beating of Rodney G. King that ultimately triggered riots in Los Angeles, in 1992, was moved to Los Angeles for trial amid concern about the extensive media coverage of the slang in the Bay Area. We don't have them blacks deciding the cases about the blacks. That doesn't sound right, you know, that sort of thing. Many civil rights activists considered...
You did that real well, Robert.
Thank you, thank you. Many civil rights activists considered the case a test of how the justice system treats police officers accused of abusing minorities. The trial also captured the attention of law enforcement officers who feared that a guilty verdict could raise the stakes for cops who make mistakes. That rhymes. The shooting occurred soon after police responded to reports of a fight on a train stopped at the Fruitvale station. Grant and four friends were detained by a different police officer who prosecutors said used excessive force against the men. Marzulli arrived on the platform after the men had been detained. I'm not aware that that officer ever has been charged with any crime, interestingly enough. So, you know, there's been a lot of focus on Marzulli, but I don't know where that Officer Perrone has been charged with anything. He has been, or maybe he has, I don't know. I don't, there certainly hasn't been much publicity about it if he has. And that's really the point. It's not just, you know, can we get one cop and hold him accountable, but is the police department generally going to change policies that result in this kind of, you know, general level of increased violence against the community and then lethal violence against individuals in the community when police officers who feel empowered go off.
They got to take the fucking tasers away, for one thing. I mean, they're as deadly as a gun. It wouldn't matter. If he'd have tasered him, he'd have zapped him 6 times and killed him anyway. That was the rage they were in. So
Could have. I don't know. I would say tasering is not usually lethal, but it has been on occasion, for sure. Alameda County Deputy District Attorney David R. Stein rejected the idea that the shooting was a mistake, telling jurors, and again I'm reading from the LA Times story, that Marzulli's holster was specially designed to prevent easy release of his firearm. The prosecutor contrasted the light, bright yellow taser gun with the heavier black Sig Stauer handgun that Marzulli fired. He let his aggression dictate his conduct, Stein told jurors. The prosecutor urged jurors to find Marzulli guilty of second-degree murder, pointing out that the officer never told his colleagues that night that the shooting was an accident. Or that he was using it, trying to reach for a taser, for that matter. Prosecutors in Los Angeles have not won a murder conviction in a police shooting case since 1983. Marzulli testified that he intended to use his taser because he believed Grant, 22, might be reaching for a gun in his pants pocket. Or possibly a winning lottery ticket. You know, it could be any one of these things. Sorry, I just had to add that. While the officer's firearm was on his right side, the taser was in a holster on the left side of his belt, but angled so that it could be pulled out with his right hand. Two people, including a friend of Grant's, testified that they heard the officer say he intended to use his taser shortly before the shooting. In at least 6 other instances, officers have said that they made the same mistake of firing a handgun when they intended to use a taser. This sounds to me like exculpatory reporting on the basis of the L.A. Times trying to justify this murder. But these things were, you know, said at the trial, according to the reporters. Numerous witnesses said Marzulli looked shocked after the gunshot. Defense attorney Michael J. L. Rain said video footage showed his client holding his head in his hands in despair. Or maybe like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He's sick to his stomach, Raines told jurors, because he has shot a man who did not deserve to be shot.
No, I
might have thought of that in terms of how he and his fellow officer were treating him before the shooting, which apparently was not particularly good. So anyway, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the Marzulli case because...
Well, you brought him up today. That's the, and the thing that's going on here locally again is at the Del Mar tomorrow.
At noon. Yeah.
At noon. All right. There we go.
So come on to the sidewalk and check that out.
Come check it out.
And I think what I'm going to do now is just make a couple of quick announcements, and we'll proceed into street interviews.
Woo-hoo. What are we announcing, Robert? Uncle Robert?
You want to know what we're announcing? That would be telling.
Well, yeah. I should have, as a co-host, I should have some preambling knowledge of these things.
You want me to tell you what I'm going to say?
I don't know.
I'll tell you. We are actually hoping to have a call from Jillian Greenside, who has been on the show before. She's the rape counselor at UCSC, who's being discharged. The position is being dumped. Just as she was discharged by Mike Rotkin, her appointer, from the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, after she raised a stink about the very low rape closure rate in Santa Cruz County and City, compared to the state closure rate, I think it's 40%. Santa Cruz had a closure rate a few years ago of 13%. Those are the cases that they are able to effectively have some kind of a suspect in terms of a rape
and there's actually some legal process or police investigatory process that culminates in something. And there's a very low rate in Santa Cruz. So she may call in with an update on that. We're also expecting a call from Cindy, a Hollister activist who heard about our protest at City Hall, I'm sorry, at the county building, the Ed Fry's Peace Camp that's happening again tonight at 8 o'clock.
It is.
For those who want to come on down.
Yes, please.
She's going to report in on Hollister harassment of homeless people and how they deal with it over there. How service providers actually...
I bet they just take them out back and shoot them, right, boss?
Well, my co-host is a little enthusiastic about these things. But, yeah, she'll be calling in hopefully around 7. And on Sunday at 11 o'clock, we will be having a special edition, a debate. Actually, it's the usual edition. It is a special meeting of the minds or the... I don't know if these people actually have... Well, some of them have minds. I don't know.
I am.
The voices, anyway, of two local political figures. Ed Fry, who is an attorney and the person... Well, I'd say one of the key people behind the current peace camp against the sleeping ban at the county government building.
Hey, bring some shit
over
with
him. And our mayor, Mike Rotkin. They, too, will be debating 11 o'clock on Sunday on this show. So mark it on your calendars. Turn on your radios. Check out, put your computers on. And we will take your questions and comments as the two titans battle it out.
Say when this happens
again. That's going to be 11 o'clock on Sunday, day after the day after tomorrow. So, and that's on Free Radio Santa Cruz. I also want to apologize to people who listen to this show on archives, because archives have not been working for the last two shows. I'm going to try tonight to download some of the archives from my backup files here in the studio and put them on by hand, or actually get one of my fine techies to try to do that. A tip of the hat to the techie who does that. And so you can actually hear the shows from July 1st and July 4th, which should be archiving but aren't. And hopefully that whole procedure will be restored when I talk to our man over in San Jose, who actually set this whole system up 4 or 5 years ago, along with the cop watch that he set up in Santa Cruz that lasted briefly before it disappeared beneath the waves. That's Tom Belote. So a lot of things are happening, at least all those things are happening, not to mention the protest tomorrow against the Marisley verdict at noon in front of the Del Mar Theater. And I'm going to start now with some interviews, Chris, but before I do, I'm going to give you a chance to do your five-second commentary. No, I'll give you a little time here. If you have any thoughts, you feel free
to.
But don't feel
obliged. No, I don't know. I think mostly I want to jump in when we start to talk about what's going on down at the courthouse. I got some thoughts about that, yeah.
Well, why don't we do that then? Between bites of this this dinner, I will continue. We'll all continue here. Remember, the phone line here is 427-3772. We do take your calls. I do, and so does Chris. And it gets more exciting when more people chat and chatter and actually raise issues. So raise those issues, 427-3772, and we'll talk. We'll save that one for a moment. That's another song by Vision Song Valerie, but let's get to some of these interviews first.
Where is the independence on upcoming Independence Day? Who knows? It's about 20 to 10. I'm down here in front of Pete's Coffee on Pacific Avenue talking with...
Mike.
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 And Mike, you have just been spare changing within 3 feet a criminal offense in Santa Cruz, and you have a joke about something?
I got a good joke. All right, so this guy goes into a bar. He orders 8 tequilas back to back. He drinks all 8 tequilas. Bartender says, man, I've never seen anybody drink tequila like that in my life. Yeah. He says, well, if you had what I had, you'd be drinking tequila like this too. He says, oh yeah, what do you got, like cancer or tumor or something? He says, no, about $3.
Mamma mia. And you had to be here to hear it. In fact, we made you do it.
A little bit counts.
Good.
That was a panhandle joker, or a joking panhandler, or a...
Not a very good one. He doesn't want
to give up his day job.
I agree.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah, stick with the panhandling and hope he's better at it.
Yeah, the joke needs some work. So anyway, yeah. But still, that's the first time I've heard that rap, particularly on Pacific Avenue in quite a while, tell you a joke for a quarter or some such thing. But let's
go.
Something like that. You might want to try that, Chris, although I don't know if you're...
Hell no.
Hell no. It takes a... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I got some old standards, but I'm not very good at remembering new jokes.
Roadside Bandit or something. I don't know. It gets desperate enough.
You're paying for that joke?
You're trying to get your
Thank
coffee.
You, Mike. Yep. We're talking with
Miguel de Leon.
Señor Lito. We're in front of the Coffee Roasting Company. It's about 10:20. Lito, in looking at the records of the court, apparently the city attorney claims you've been given, like, I don't know, 13 tickets in the last year for sleeping in different places, though not in, you know, the injunction zone. How many tickets do you actually remember getting from the police?
I don't know, since the injunction has been on?
Yes.
Probably about 4 or 5.
That's my impression based on the conversations we've had. It's strange then to see in the...
But none of them were in
the forbidden zone.
Red zone, no. Well, except for the first two, but we weren't camping. We were just stopping because we were tired, and we proved that in court.
True enough. At least that was my impression listening to you guys in court.
We went to the new judge and
Wolfman,
and we beat it, yeah.
You know, I want to say what this really involves here. this is a huge expenditure of city money, again, by our city attorney, John Barisoni, of the Burnt Door fame, who has spent $50,000 to $100,000 going after these two homeless musicians. What were their crimes? Well, the only thing that the judge would agree that they should be enjoined from doing, he didn't convict them of doing it, but he just said, because, you know, if you want to convict him, you take him to trial. Apparently, the city attorney wasn't confident enough or didn't want to waste his time on taking people to actually trial where they get, you know, various civil rights that they don't get when they're taken to an injunction hearing.
They get to the Uzgal.
Yeah, well,
just take them out back and shoot them.
Chris, you have your solutions, but I don't know if the city attorney would necessarily find that appropriate. But in any case, a lot of the issue has been that these two have supposedly racked up all kinds of citations. But I, over the last year, have been in regular communication with them. I'm always asking about their citations. And on occasion they say, yes, we got a ticket for this, a ticket for that. But they stay outside the zone that they're told. If they go into this zone, they immediately get arrested and jailed for sleeping, unlike other sleepers, like you, for instance, Chris,
right,
who would simply get a citation. They are taken immediately to jail because of this injunction.
You want my comment as a homeless
not
person?
Not yet.
All this?
Eventually.
Let me know.
Yeah, I do. I will.
I got something to say
but
about
I want to hear about it. Yeah, but the injunction hearing is still going on as to whether this forbidden zone for these two individuals alone to go to jail specifically for sleeping in this zone will be continued forever until there's another hearing sometime far in the distant future or even expanded. The city attorney, as I said, has spent $50,000 to $100,000 bringing in. He brought in 23 prosecution witnesses. Actually, Susan Barisoni, his wife, who's also on the city attorney payroll, was the woman who was doing the court work on that issue about three or four weeks ago.
Here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, and we covered that on the free radio. Significance of this thing that we're listening to, Chris, is that Miguel de Leon is actually clarifying that all the citations that they were accused of having, they never received copies of directly. The cop didn't stop and write them a ticket. But later on, the police apparently claimed that citations had been written. So I mentioned this, you know, you may say, well, is this picayune? You know, it's a detail. But it's an example of the kind of lack of due process we have in Santa Cruz. With poor people, you don't have to give them any kind of rights if you can slide
into the paperwork. Not even the paperwork.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's to me, that really sucks. And then, of course, when they did write them tickets, they claimed that they were violating the camping ordinance because they slept during the day, which is allowed and not a violation of the camping ordinance, but because they had their property sitting next to them, that was an established campsite, even though it was in the middle of the downtown. They were, you know, moving about during the day, and they stopped to rest because they're not allowed to sleep at night in that area in the downtown, or they'll go to jail immediately. And the judge, Judge Volkman, found this insufficient evidence for a violation of the camping ordinance, and so insufficient evidence for a violation of the injunction. And that trial is still going on.
It's a pretty fair ruling as far as it went. Let me know when I can say my piece.
Please, do say your piece.
Well, this is a very famous case here in Santa Cruz. Many of our listeners will already know what's going on, and, you know, anybody from Mayor Rotkin to, you know, to just anybody could be out there listening to this. And I want to make one point that is yet to be made in any commentary, any newspaper article that's been written about this case, or any argument that's ever been made, because I have a unique perspective, Robert. I live with these people. I live with them.
Anna and Miguel.
On a day-to-day basis. I mean, we're there at the same place. Being homeless is sort of tribal in Santa Cruz in that there's a certain areas where the resources are, and you're bound to bump into each other. You either get to know each other or you don't, but you usually do. I know these people. And here's what nobody seems to grasp. These are two of the kindest, gentlest, sweetest, most intelligent two people that you would ever want to run across. Some of the things that leap to mind when I think of Anna and Lito as I deal with them is harmless, peaceful to the point of serenity sometimes. I mean, Anna can walk down the street and make you smile just by walking in front of you. I mean, she radiates a cloud of happiness. These are genuinely fucking awesome people. Now, for whatever reason, they have become embroiled in this thing. But, I mean, I want the average people, I don't care what side of the issue you're on. I don't care if you're listening, Mike. I don't care who's listening to this show tonight or listens to it in the future.
Mike, you're referring to Mike Rodkin?
Yeah. You know, you guys don't understand that what you're doing, and it makes me want to cry, Robert, honest to God, and I have. I've sat on the streets after some of these protests we've done for Anna and Lito and cried. These are just two fucking people that you're doing this to. And it's like ostracize the I don't know. I just...
Well, I think you made your point. And I think it also has to be said, I examined the records of Miguel de Leon in terms of we asked for a lot of discovery, a lot of the old documents from the city attorney's office and the police department. What have they ever been arrested for? What have they ever been convicted of? And they have never been convicted of any crimes of violence, of any crimes of theft, of any drug crimes, and there was one open container ticket, years ago.
Even if they are a nuisance, whatever, I mean, since when does being a nuisance warrant that sort of thing? And I think a lot of
I'm not trying to make a broad-based defense of these two. I'm trying to say that the Sentinel and the city attorney's office are smearing these people around the specific issue of the sleeping ban. That's the only thing they can get on these people, and it's very telling and is relevant to our protest, because what it means is the only law they can really accuse these people of violating is a law that everybody has to violate at night after 11 o'clock at night. The law against falling asleep outside or in a vehicle. If you're homeless, you violate that law.
It's automatic.
That's how it happens. Now, you know, you'll hear Mike Rodkin say on Sunday when he's debating Ed Fry, when you tune in at 11 o'clock, if you do, oh, well, we're only 60 or 80 or 90 tickets a month for all the 1,500, 2,000 homeless people. That's, you know, that's one or one and a half tickets a day. We're very liberal. We don't drive people out of town. You know, if you don't cause trouble and you camp lightly on the land, you're perfectly okay. You're going to hear this whole rap from Rodkin. But the fact is, this law gives the police the power to intimidate, to ID check, to humiliate, and essentially to drive away people, and particularly when the new extra added hyper version of the law that's coming up on next Tuesday that will make the fourth infraction of any kind an immediate misdemeanor at the option of the city attorney. So if you get a ticket for smoking, a ticket for walking across the street, a ticket for sitting on the sidewalk, and then the fourth ticket for sleeping, that's automatically, in spite of the current law, which says you can't get a misdemeanor for sleeping, it changes that law and says you can go to jail for a year and you can get a $1,000 fine on that ticket if you're convicted of sleeping. So that's why one of the reasons this protest is so important, I think, at the county building, because even though there may be places for people to hide out, this gives the police a completely illegitimate power against poor people. But perhaps we need them against your ilk. What would you say, Chris?
Oh, you know that words don't describe. I mean, it's a serious thing, and this, you know, and what frosts my ass is that it's the very rich of the rich that have caused the current economic recession, which just makes it, you know, it doesn't matter whether times are good or times are bad. This battle has been going on for 10 years through good times and bad. So, you know, but the recession gets blamed on us too as well. And it was the uber rich who fucked the economy all up. Then they gave the uber rich a bunch of money because they said they were essential to the economy. They fucked up. And that didn't work. And meanwhile, they made law after law after law to make the uber poor.
Uber poorer.
uber poorer, but also more uber miserable. And, I mean, if a peasant can't even smile, then what does he want to do, Robert? He wants to pick up a stick and strike back. You know what I mean?
Or
I mean,
a rock and throw it through a window. Or a match and light up the door of the city attorney's office. I don't know.
You know, I mean, it makes you angry. It
right.
makes you angry to the point where, you know, you wonder when you've got to stand up and defend yourself. And when you see kids trembling on the streets going, you know, yeah, I'm going up to the county building. I'm going up there right now. And you say, well, wow, you seem really intense about why are you heading up there? Because it's the only place I feel safe in the whole damn city right now. And
that should be said. There really is a peaceful quality to people sleeping at the county, you know, in front of the courthouse. There was the last four nights when I was there.
People shouldn't be scared in their own city, though, like that.
Right, and they're scared elsewhere. I mean, you know, there's
Santa Cruz.
They're private vigilantes.
I thought we were better than that.
Who are throwing,
maybe I'm wrong.
They were throwing rocks at night. There are some homeless people out there that prey on other homeless people. No question about it. That happens, too. There's the police department, which...
I'll point my finger even on that. Even on the homeless on homeless stuff, I'll point my finger right back where it belongs, and that is the capitalistic pigs that have ground us to fucking dust and made us prey upon ourselves. I mean, and it's much less than what you think, and that's just fucking used as another scape against us. It's a minuscule occurrence to the average. Homeless people are just like everybody else, and that's what I want to point out. You come down there, bring your own fucking sleeping bag. This isn't about homeless people. When I talked with Becky last night, all night, this isn't about any... You come down. If you're out there with a home right now and you want... It's a beautiful July night. You want to have some fun. Maybe somebody will show up with some food. Come on down. Roll out your sleeping bag and see, you know, see what it's like to be out with us for a night, and we'll treat you right. You'll be safe and hospitable. This is for anybody. We got Ed Fry down there. We should have lawyers and doctors. Hell, we get President Obama come down. He will even welcome the Secret Service. He can come roll out in the sleeping bag. You know what I mean? Well, whoever we can
you
get
can welcome him.
Well, whoever we can get to do it. That's my point. And you know,
let's hear some more interviews. I mean, I follow your drift, and I agree. Let's come on down. That's my advice. Particularly if you want to join, you know. And do some
no
more.
Harm will come to you. That I promise you. That
well,
I've made in my heart that if I stay the night, that's the one pledge I'll give. So come on down.
So you have another hearing coming up in August, as I understand, August 18th or something.
Okay. August 18th. That's good to know because I didn't know when it was.
It's either the 18th or the 20th. You might want to check with Gettleman at some point to find out, or with Mark Briscoe. No word from Anna, I take it, right?
Nope.
And no word about her.
I don't know. I guess she ran off to the rainbow gathering or something with dude that she likes better than me. And, you know.
You're hanging in there.
I'm trying.
There's been some talk on the streets about the torching of the city attorney, or the attempted torching of the city attorney's office. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't heard nothing about that. That's pretty good, though.
It's in the papers.
Right on. I think that they should burn it all down. Burn it all down.
You definitely have a strong point of view around your old pal, the city attorney.
Well, I mean, the first couple of days, those witnesses that were up there, like the guy from the post office, I've never even seen that guy before in my life. And that lady that says I'm aggressive to everybody walking by, I never even seen her before in my life. And the lady that was saying that I got in her face and all aggressive with her in the tunnel, if I expect to be woke up there in the morning if I fall asleep while I'm playing, why would I be angry with somebody if I expect them to wake me up?
So
that doesn't make any sense. We say, I'm sorry, we're sleeping right here. We get up and we move out as quick as possible. You know what I'm saying?
You weren't called to
act like Nazis. I call it like I see it.
I hear you. You weren't called to the stand to testify in this trial, right?
Not yet. They still have another 20-something witnesses against my sleeping.
Well, I understand the prosecution case is closed, and the only witnesses left are the two defense witnesses, Paul Brundell and Linda LeMaster.
I don't even know who they are.
Linda, were you in court on Friday, the last day, or were you?
No, I missed it, obviously. Yeah,
they were the good... They were good witnesses for you. They talked about the lack of shelter space. Although, there are those who say you wouldn't go to a shelter if it was offered to you.
Ever since I learned that it's illegal to sleep outside in America, I refuse to sleep inside until that's fixed for our children's sake. I hate walls and I hate cages, and it's not a crime. I shouldn't be forced to live in their manner of living. You understand what I'm saying?
You sound like you feel very strongly about that.
Yeah, I hate cages. My dad spent most of his life in a cage and died in a cage, and I don't plan on doing that. Now, same reason people don't die for disrespect all day, every day, the same reason why I shouldn't have to sleep in a cage.
So, you know that you heard there's a peace camp coming up at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. Have you heard about that?
No.
At the county building, Ed Fry, who is an attorney who defended Robert Facer Blind Bear, you know Blind Bear, the drummer, maybe, not sure if you know him. He's an older guy, feather in his hat, used to kind of wheel around a cart before it was taken away. He's a drummer, plays with Suzanne on occasion.
Oh, yeah, are you talking about Robert?
Yes, I am.
Robertson Crusoe.
That's the one. He's going to, his attorney, Ed Fry, has decided because of the sleeping ban, he wants to have a peace camp until the sleeping ban is ended every night from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. in the county building.
Yeah, all the illegal sleeping time?
Right. He wants to. Well, illegal is 11 to 8:30, but he'll be there 8 to 8, he says, at least starting on Sunday night to July 4th, tomorrow.
Nice.
So if you decide you want to show up with your guitar and do some playing, I don't know if you want to. It might be risky for you in terms of. I guess that's outside the forbidden zone. You're allowed to be in the courthouse area, right?
Yes.
So you're welcome to come. We'll be there. There'll be some food at 8 o'clock in the evening tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah.
You're invited.
Yeah, and I'd like to say congratulations to Crazy Timmy getting married in the park today, I heard.
Really?
Yeah, San Lorenzo, I do believe. And if Anna's out there, I love you. I miss you. Be safe.
And you be safe too, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Live free. Be free.
How are you?
4th of July coming up tomorrow. Maybe we'll see you at the county building, 8 o'clock.
Got a rock star singing bluegrass. Economy's to blame. But still I persisted to who I wasn't before. I turned around and I told my friend, hell, I'm tired of sleeping on the floor. So I turned around and I checked my life. Right to left. Sometimes I feel I'm best friends to myself. But I don't mind cause I can't lie. To my other side, yo, I don't mind, I can't deny. I'm still glad that I can try. You know what I mean? Still glad I can try. This Saturday I might as well pick it up. Sometimes I blunder, sometimes I'm to blame. Might make you wonder if the rocks are just going insane. I'm still persistent to who I was before. Turn around and tell my friends, hell, they better hit the door. Then I turn around and I check the right, gave it a left. I turn around once again, I'm best friends to myself. But I don't mind, I can't deny. I don't mind, I can't deny. I'm still glad I sudden bum 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 sudden bum 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 bum.
All right, well, here we are down on a sunny corner in front of Borders, about 15 to 11, talking with
Philip.
Go ahead, Philip. With, of course, Barack. Philip, you have a veteran, disabled, no check yet. And you had some experiences on the boardwalk that led you to the city attorney's office.
Well, I was under the mistaken, as it appears, belief that a doctor could declare a bicycle as a medical device. However, back in 1992 or somewhere around, I'm not sure of my dates and everything here, I do know this, that a company in some state, I believe it was Ohio, didn't want to put in ramps for power chairs because it had a steering device and a motor. They said it was a vehicle. A court in Ohio, a federal district court, ruled that a vehicle is something that is designed to be operated primarily on a roadway, and they do not have to allow access to vehicles. However, a power chair is not a vehicle. However, that does make my bicycle a vehicle, and they can disallow access.
So where were you disallowed access, and what happened? Tell us a little bit about that boardwalk situation.
I hadn't seen Blue Oyster Cult in about 30 years, and I really wanted to go see him. And I went down to the boardwalk, and they denied me access to my bicycle. And as it turned out, they can do that.
They can do that.
Yes.
You are a disabled vet.
Yes.
And you have your service dog with you.
Yes. Well, they didn't have a problem with the service dog. They had a problem with the bicycle.
Now, was it realistic, their problem? I mean, were you blocking something, or was there not enough room?
See, that is part of why I don't understand it, because a bicycle actually takes up less room than a large power chair. And they say, well, you could run into somebody. I've been ran into power chairs several times, and I'm sure most other people have, too. You get run into power chairs more than you do by bicycles. No, I don't see the justification behind denying bicycles, but it has been done, so there's really no legal standing for me.
You know, I suppose bicycles for people who are not disabled might be properly regulated or banned, but bicycles for a disabled person, I would think, would be a special kind of vehicle.
I thought that there would be an exemption. My belief was that a doctor can make an exemption for something like that. Now, quite possibly, just because the federal court said that a bicycle is a vehicle, and they can deny access to vehicles, if I wanted to take it to court and had a lawyer that really wanted to take it, we could make it to where they could make an exemption for bicycles.
So, did Barisone, did you actually talk to the chief city attorney, Barisone, or did you talk to one of his underlings?
I talked to an underling.
And did this underling, is she or he, tell you that there was some previous case that had come up here in Santa Cruz? Like, had there been other complaints about disability discrimination of this kind? Or?
Actually, she told me the same thing that two sergeants have told me here. They have all researched it. They all know it. I don't know if it's because...
Screwed again, Philip?
Basically, Sergeant Arm, Sergeant Medina, the lady I talked to at the city, they were all aware of that ruling.
Any other reports from the street on this sunny Saturday?
I have poison oak real bad. Be careful when you build a place for your tent.
No hugging today, I'm afraid.
No hugging.
Thank
today.
You, Philip.
No hugging.
All right, man. So it's now around 15 to 12. I'm in front of the Zachary's restaurant right here, across from the community TV and the pipeline. And the chief of the hosts, the hospitality squad, is chatting away. She and one of her fellow subordinates have been advised and have seen that someone is sitting on the sidewalk illegally within 14 feet of a building. And while she will run off homeless people elsewhere, because it's a tourist, she will schmooze with the tourists instead of enforcing the ordinances in front of a restaurant, which I find interesting. And the tourists here are fun to watch. But the question is, should there be one standard for poor people and another for rich people? The hospitality crew, in fact, does this. It has a standard for rich people where they can break the law with no problem. But poor people, of course, suffer $250 fines for doing what rich people are allowed to do. The Veed in Santa Cruz goes on. I'm talking with a local resident. What's your name, ma'am? What's your name?
What are you asking my name?
Tell me your name, ma'am.
It's Valerie.
And Valerie, actually, I know you, but just for the purposes of information, you're standing here at the corner of Maple and Pacific Avenue, across from Tampico's, and you're making an observation. What is that?
Oh, it's just no place to sit down. So when I'm here, it's like I gotta walk, and then I gotta go home, I guess, because there's no place I can sit down and just enjoy the day.
Indeed, I think the bench in front of the community TV has been removed.
All the benches are gone down here. Down here where Zachary's is, over by the bus stop, used to be able to sit. Of course, usually when the benches were there, there were people sitting on it all day. So there's no place to sit anyway, because there were people taking over the bench all day. They don't just sit there for an hour. They sit there all day.
So then you would favor the law that makes it illegal for a person to be there for more than...
No, I just know that there's no place for them to go, and so they can't go anywhere else but sit on a bench. Now they can't even sit on a bench. You know, it's like you can't hang out in the park. You can't hang out at the beach if you want to smoke a cigarette, especially, but that's where a lot of them are going now. I see a lot of people hanging down at the beach because there's very few places to go now where you're allowed to just hang out. I used to hang out on Santa Cruz all day. I had no place to live.
Hang out where?
And I worked. I had a job here, but I had no home, so I hang out on the mall. We had walls that were about high as a bench.
You mean the planters?
The planters,
the red brick planters.
And it was against the law to sit on them. Right. And you could sit anywhere all day. I was never told to move. There were plenty of places to sit and hang out. Now you can't hang out anywhere.
Well, I continue to notice that Gina, who's the head of the hosts, in the kind of the, what we call the yellow jacket outfit, the hospitality uniform, is continuing to chat with two tourists about 15 or 20 feet away from a, another customer who's seated on the sidewalk with their back against the wall next to Zachary's. And
what, she, they're waiting for to go in for breakfast.
That doesn't matter. It is illegal to do it. And the fact that,
to wait for breakfast.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Nope.
It's illegal. Yes, it is. It's illegal to sit on the sidewalk.
Because if it was, cops would be telling them to leave.
No, no, that's the
point.
Not
against
the law. See, that's the point, Valerie. The point is that the cops aren't telling them to leave, and the hosts aren't, because they are supporting a business, even though it is illegal what they're doing. See, that's the point. And I brought this to her attention, and her response was that she's too busy talking to someone to pay any attention, although she's actually schmoozing. I'll go up and do a little recording of that. But you want to actually mention between Zachary's and... actually, Cathcart on Pacific Avenue, the restaurant Zachary's, which is past the metro. There are no benches on the Catalyst side of the street, and also apparently no benches on the other side of the street, the metro side of the street. But we do have these fine little penguin statues, which get to sit. I guess the statues are important. I mean, art certainly is an important part of our... You know, you see how little children love those penguin statues.
I saw a guy sitting
statues.
On that penguin. He was riding it.
I do. So apparently the penguins do serve a useful purpose, although that's illegal, of course.
Yes, of course.
We're talking.
And also, we're going to be singing at the farmer's market for a half an hour on the 17th.
And every Wednesday at the coffee cart and every on the 17th at the farmer's market.
Yeah, on the farmer's market. This is it.
And then who's we? What group is that?
The Veterans of Foreign Wars at the Disabled American Veterans Chapter 52.
Of which you are one.
Yeah, which one of them.
And sign in, veteran. What's your name for all of us to hear?
Well, my name, yes. Maurice Ricketts.
And you were...
World War II, 87 years old. One of the greatest generations. The greatest generation.
Modest as well, I might add.
Yeah, right. that's it. So,
And you, what's happening with the vets all? I know that they ousted you guys, and what is that now sort of a thing of the past, or is there a hope to get back in?
Oh, no, there's a lawsuit coming up.
Okay.
There's a lawsuit.
All right.
The veterans sued the county, and we can't do too much until that lawsuit is settled.
Well, I always thought you could occupy the damn building and take it back since it's yours anyway.
Yes. And I don't think it's, we don't think it's that damaged to where we don't, they can't work around us and still fix the repairs. They probably need some strengthening of the building, the stability of the building, but they could work around us.
That's
easy.
What I thought. That's what your engineer said, right?
Yes, that's it. So, okay, our amateur radio call is kilowatt 6 Victor. And then when my personal call is N6GOW. G-O-W. I shouldn't be called in this, making any announcement in this pirate station.
You have a pirate station too?
No. You have the pirate station.
Okay. I was wondering. But no, we have a rival pirate station here, matey?
No. No. Listen, I'm legitimate. Legal. Legal.
You better be legal. I mean, look at you. It's not an American flag, but it's got red, white, and blue on it, you know, on your wheelchair there.
That's right. We had, on Memorial Day, we had our amateur station was temporarily relocated at the Harvey West Stadium. Harvey West, we made a lot of contacts.
Well, that's good. And I know that you've been kind of fighting for vets' rights for a long time, and that there's been some attempt to remove you from the top floor of the vets' hall, and then they removed everybody from the vets' hall, and I guess, you know, you're waiting for the lawyers to do something, right?
Yeah, that's right. The law is... we're waiting for a judge's decision, and they're looking for some stimulus money or something to refit the building to where it's safe to go into. That's what they say.
Although your engineer says it's safe except for some minor problems.
Yes. Well, so even we said, I personally
sent a request, an appeal to the Bill Gates Foundation and see if he might be interested in donating a little thing to get going. But we're asking for $1.5 million. Right. Which very unlikely.
I don't know if you... You don't really need a lot of money to get back into the vet hall. You need to get past the bureaucrats, right?
Yes, that's it. Well, there's some deep political maneuvering, and I, at this point, I don't know what it is. We suspect some deep political manipulation of funds and that type of thing.
You know, you're invited to come to the peace camp that's happening tomorrow night on the 4th of July at the county building. Some homeless vets and others are going to be there who are trying to end the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz. The outside law says homeless vets are not allowed to sleep after 11 o'clock at night, you know, outside.
Yes, well, thank you for the invitation. But I don't go out at night with this scooter. I'm very vulnerable. But I'll be watching the Holy Ghost Society parade tomorrow and probably eating after the Holy Ghost out to the Portuguese Hall. It's an annual thing.
Yeah, I know. They have the parade, too, I guess.
Parade, yeah. Tomorrow I'll probably be watching the parade.
4th of July parade. I'll actually be playing this tape probably about the same time the parade is happening. I'll be in the studio doing my show. In fact, I'll give you my card again. I think I gave you my card before.
Yeah, I got your card.
I got my card, so I'm not going to give it to you again.
Several times before.
You have, Maurice, and thank you for reminding me of your name again.
Yeah, once in a while, I tune into your station. Once in a while, most of the time, I'm on the computer watching. With CQ-100, you're able to talk to Moscow and Tokyo.
So you're one of those Russian spies we've heard so much about, eh?
Even when I talked to this guy at Moscow, I accused him of being a KGB person. He just laughs it off.
More of a CIA person, probably.
KGB is equal to CIA.
Yeah, of course, it's true. Same old stuff. But anyway, thank you, Maurice.
Yes. Well, to amateur radio, the whole amateur radio people, a communication system that we offer the public in case of an emergency. We're organized, and we have it ready to go in case it's needed.
Thank you. Okay, this is a phone call to Sean Riley at about 6:30 on July 3rd.
And actually, that was really not for broadcast. Sean Riley, but for those who don't know, is a complainant who claimed that singing on the sidewalk homeless songs about the criminalization of the poor, which we did in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz back on January 6th, was unreasonably disturbing noise. And so far, he's gotten one person fined. That's Becky Johnson, $250. I go to trial on July 20th. And I actually was making a call to Sean Riley in order to try to resolve the issue out of court, because I think it's a better expenditure of both our time. But I haven't heard back from him, so who knows what's going to happen with that.
Is that legal? That's not like intimidating a witness or a complaint?
No, according to the attorney I talked to, since, you know, it's a private affair, I'm not trying to intimidate him. I'm just suggesting, because actually we had a conversation outside the courthouse at the last hearing, and I said to him, you know, Sean, if you have a problem with anything we're doing, just come talk to us, because he didn't actually come down and tell us he was having a trouble that our music or our singing was too loud. He was in the second floor above where we were singing at the bookshop Santa Cruz on that Wednesday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock when we were singing, and he apparently just called the cops and said, there's unreasonably disturbing noise out there that's been going on for 4 hours and so forth. And
which was untrue.
Which was not true. And I mean, and I think he either, it's hard to tell, I can't tell whether Sean was being intentionally false or mistaken the sound for what he heard from other people, but he did say to me on this particular occasion outside court, I have nothing against homeless people, and I want you to know I'm really sorry that this happened. I wish he kind of, he almost seemed to be apologizing for what happened to Becky Johnson, who was found guilty of unreasonably disturbing noise, even though she did nothing of the kind. It wasn't unreasonably disturbing at all. It was a standard song volume on the streets, which you'll hear from any guitarist. Anyway,
I think it's a terrible ruling in that it puts all buskers, puts anybody now who performs at risk.
Right.
But the point was, in with the Sean Riley situation, I told him, Sean, do you know that we were saying that all we wanted to do was be able to sing legally, and we asked the officer involved, Officer Schoenfield, how we could sing, you know, if we sang more quietly, was that okay? If we'd be willing to sing more quietly, would that be okay? She refused to give us an answer and then instead called you up and informed you that we would not quiet down, which wasn't true. We had made no decision about what we were going to do. We were simply trying to find out what the law was. And I said, would you have written a ticket if you knew that we were, you know, potentially willing to sing more quietly? And he said, no. So it's interesting. That may come up in the court proceeding. Although I may be revealing my secret legal strategy here. But, you know, to me, the issue around the sleeping ban, the peace camp we're doing here is far more important than this incident on the sidewalk. Though I think the rights of musicians are important.
Oh, no, I think it's definitely a very serious case. And I don't think you maybe being involved have blinders on to that possibilities of how far-reaching that can be. I mean, if this is going to be a complainant-based only system where anybody can be censored on any speech simply because somebody doesn't like it, we've got a serious... This is a serious problem. I can't believe a system like that can either be sustained justly or be constitutional. I mean,
well, of course, the judge in that case, Judge Almquist, who tried Becky Johnson's case, claimed that it was not content-based. It had simply to do with the fact that it was so harsh and so long and so prolonged to persons of ordinary sensitiveness, and it was not conducted in terms of any legally activity which is legally allowed, which wasn't true, of course.
Exercising your free speech.
I mean, Well, there is a case that the law itself could be used for really unreasonably disturbing noise. That actually is noise. But singing political songs is almost invariably not unreasonably disturbing unless it's done so loud to rattle the windows. The fact that it disturbs someone who's trying to sleep, who works during the day, who keeps their window open above, is not a basis for censoring music. Or censoring political protest, or censoring, and that,
or both.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be an issue. And actually, we had found, and I talked about this on the radio. Brent Adams last week was playing his drums, and I guess the lawyers across the street above Borders, there's a law office there, Penrose and Attic, I understand. A woman there was complaining about Brent's drumming, and we at Huff, and I guess some of us in the Street Performers Guild too, although I'm not speaking for them at all, said our concern was that if a citizen has a complaint and they want to even call a cop, the issue should be sing more quietly, not shut up and move or leave or don't sing.
Well, I mean, just arbitrarily not even give you that chance. They just wrote you guys tickets.
Officer Schoenfeld did say, you know, you have to stop singing. And finally, when pressed, she said, or sing more quietly. But then she went back to you have to stop singing. And then she ended up misinforming Riley that we refused, which we didn't. We were trying to find out what the standard was, how soft, you know, what can our volume be. She wouldn't tell us. And she would, and so it became, you know, a difficult situation. But what happened in the Brent Adams case was there was a video camera person videoing the whole incident with Brent Adams. I guess it was last Wednesday. Well, a week ago Wednesday. And Brent, the Sergeant Harms came up, received the same complaint from that same woman, apparently, above Borders, who had complained about Brent previously some weeks before and written a ticket for him. And this time, the sergeant came over and was threatening to use what's called disturbing the peace, sort of a classic attack on free speech. But he said that, you know, could you sing more quietly? Which is what we had asked the people to do with the unreasonably disturbing noise law, that if you don't like it, ask people to, you know, be reasonable about it. However, you know, so we thought, well, maybe there's a new standard the police department is using. They're actually telling people, just can you sing a little more quietly? Which still, in itself, may be a violation of the First Amendment. Maybe people need to sing loudly. But at least there's, you know, they're not saying leave, and they're not saying stop singing. But yesterday at the drum circle, and the day before, I understand that the police are, again, using the old standard of just leave. Even when it couldn't possibly be unreasonably disturbing, it's so far away from any, you know, group of people out there at the drum circle at its new location on the riverbank.
Next to CBS.
And so, yeah. so it's the problem is really going to be an increasing one. People need to document each police contact as it happens. If you're told by a police officer to stop playing,
ask them, are you saying play more quietly or are you saying stop playing? Get the police officer's name and badge number. I mean, you don't have to be really conspicuous about it, but get it, and then phone it in to Huff, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Talk about the time, the officer, what was done, and give your name if you can. We're going
to
start.
No, I want to add my technological twist to it. Everybody's got a cell phone and a video camera in your pockets. Get them out and use them.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a sound recorder in their
pocket. Right, but most people don't have that.
Well, yes, they do. Most people do, so I disagree.
Most homeless people don't.
Well, most of us do.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Nobody at the protest last night had one. So maybe that 20 people, they were an atypical group. I don't know. But
perhaps.
But in any case, or 30 people, I'm not sure. I mean, I however many there were, 20 or 30 people. So if people are, you're being told by the police, and you're a musician or performer, or you see this happening, and the police officer is not saying, can you sing more quietly, but is instead saying, move on or stop singing, please, let's report those incidents to 423-4833. Or, as you say, let's video them.
It happens a dozen times a day. Getting it reported to anybody.
Well, I want to know, the more the incidents that we actually can document, A, B, C, D, by specific time and place, the closer we are to getting an injunction against this kind of behavior from the police, if we ever get an attorney to do it.
I hope so. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So call on in.
Anyway, continuing now with the July 3rd street interviews.
Sure.
All right. I want to remind any listeners, you can call in. And I think we may be getting a call soon from Jillian Greenside, although she may have spaced us out. Who knows? She may be speaking at the Santa Cruz City Council meeting next Tuesday. There is the last of two meetings of the summer, this next Tuesday and the Tuesday 2 weeks after that. The meeting is going to be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's... It will also contain this three strikes and you're out nonsense that is we've talked about before, that it will be used essentially against poor and homeless people, is my belief.
Oh, imagine that. Another law against homeless people.
Well, you know, you got to do something with the menace.
They just should take them out back and shoot them.
Thank you, Chris. It's nice you have a solution there.
And I'm just checking in with them to see how the last protest went.
We're having a little taping problem. How about a musical break here? It's about time for a musical break. Let's see what we can
gerbils.
Do here. Yeah, the gerbils are with us, and here's the music.
And intricate castles appear. Thing of beauty, the trees that surrounded me, as down the pathway I went. Waterfalls on to the hallways, heavenly ornament. I wanted to stay, soak in the beauty as music somewhere softly played. Slowly it faded and I woke up. I want to return again. I'd like to know. silhouette me and be my friend. I fell asleep, and in my dreams I found a new frontier. Down pathways, moonbeams, and intricate castles appear. That surround me is down the pathway I went. The waterfalls and streams on to the hallways of heaven. Take me away, back down the pathway, I want to return again. Oh, please don't forget me, come silhouette me, and be my friend. I'd like to know.
Apologies to Vision Song Valerie. It's got a few breaks in it. That's not breaks in her recording. That is breaks in the technical tuta. And we have a comment from Chris.
No, here. I was just going to say exactly what you said. You fucked up.
We don't want to put it that way. Let's get back to the first night of the peace camp. This is some quick clips from the July 4th evening, the first night of the peace camp at the government building, which is happening again tonight for the fifth night. People are invited down, as you've been saying, Chris.
Yes, and I want to reiterate that. And you should already be planning out. Think about what you're going to need to sleep on: hard cement, nice sleeping bag, some crunchy granola maybe to snack on, and flashlight.
And an umbrella if you decide to sleep on the grass.
No, we just don't encourage people to sleep on the grass.
Yeah, it's
because
the sprinklers
go off at 3 a.m. like regular, and we just don't like rounding everybody
and
up.
Sometimes twice, 2 and 4, I understand, last night.
Oh.
Twice. Interesting.
Dubious.
Anyway, so I didn't see it, but I got that account.
Anyway, different places.
Really? So let's turn on, let's check out what's going on here at the first evening of the sleepout.
Our officer has arrived. She's checking us out here. She's a female deputy. And can you slip past her?
Hi. How are you?
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Gretchen.
Hey, Gretchen, I'm Robert. What's your last name?
Hurley.
Hurley. Well, you're welcome to have some soup. We have some soup here at your hungry.
A nice gentleman just offered me some, so I just came by to say hello. I think you knew Richard Quigley. Yes.
Yeah.
In Aptos, yes.
He spoke highly of you.
Yeah. No, we actually got, I was running the service center then at that time, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I was saddened by his loss, yeah. So yeah, no, I just came by to say hello and introduce myself
Thank
and show you guys
you.
What we're doing.
Well, feel free to stay if you'd like.
Oh,
everyone's welcome.
Unfortunately, the beaches are going nuts right now.
What's
so.
Happening on the beaches? Anything? I mean,
oh, we're just all the North Coast is causing us some problems right now, so we're sending some units up the North Coast to see, to make sure people stay safe.
No fires.
No, not. Don't even say that. No,
well, it's pretty wet. I mean,
yeah.
For a wet year for fires.
Hopefully, yeah.
So, actually, I'm interrupting this this deputy who came to visit us briefly, and we have had no problems with the police or deputies at this protest, which is unusual, but
well,
maybe partially because of the location. You know, well, no, the police have not arrived and given people citations or asked them to move.
Okay.
On one occasion, a deputy said, whose property is this?
I've got a report that says there was tension last night.
In fact, really?
I gave it to you this morning, and you were asleep at the time, and I informed you what went on while you were
Well, you've got to wake me up when these things happen.
Well, it was brief. It was over pretty quick, but there was
a moment. Maybe there was some problems with police?
There was a moment.
What happened?
Well, we attempted at one point late in the evening to weasel a bunch of homeless folks' RVs and vehicles and vans up in there that we wanted to get them in.
You don't mean weasel?
We were going to try
to do it. It's an open parking lot at night.
Yeah.
People are allowed to drive
in. Okay, mister?
Well, that's the point.
You want the report or not?
Well, I want to just correct you in the middle of your
report.
Well,
I'm going to correct you that the cop was there waiting at the gate with his lights on flashing and it was no longer open.
Okay, there's no gate into the county building. It's an open driveway. I'm just saying this so we can understand it.
Okay,
right?
Well, he made himself a gate.
Right. So this was a deputy who actually did interfere with vehicles coming in, and
yes.
I actually did get that report, and actually I was writing it up earlier today.
Yes.
But
it was
that's interesting. That's interesting.
We, you know, it was the only time we got thwarted in anything we tried that night. So, you know, I mean,
and anything, that's the only report I've heard in the last 4 days of any harassment by deputies, but it's an important thing, and I'm glad you brought it up again.
Well, he didn't say anything to anybody. Nobody got out. There's not even any contact between, like, say, the drivers of these vehicles and the sheriff. He just simply, he parked, whooped his horn twice, and everybody kind of chickened out and peeled away to side streets. You know,
how many vehicles were turned away from legal parking places
at least three that
at the county building?
At least three that we had, the drivers, you know, were going out to try to do a concerted effort to come in at once at the same time.
I'm not quite sure I understand. You mean they were originally parked and they went out again?
No, they were out of the parking lot. They were going to go get their rigs so they could have their rigs themselves and their bedrolls all in the same place. They were there. They were prepared to stay the night, but they changed their mind. And we wanted to just try to see what we get away with. We wanted to see if we get some of their rigs into the scene.
Their rigs, meaning, again, I'm not quite clear. Understand
the thing they live into their vehicular residence.
So,
for some, it's a BMW.
Let me understand. Hold it. Let me understand. So, what was happening here was you had some visitors to the vigil last night on
they
foot.
Were
on
foot, part of the vigil.
On
they
foot,
had been regular for
on
all
foot,
the days.
On foot.
Yes.
And they left on foot to get their vehicles. They were outside the county camp at the county parking lot. Is that right?
Correct.
And they then got into their vehicles at some distant point and then drove them over here. Tried to get in through the
to come at once together.
All camp, and these were three vehicles at least.
Yeah, at least.
And they who wanted somebody to come and park where other vehicles were already parked in the county camping lot, including my vehicle.
The plan was to get
Ed Fry's vehicle with a porta potty on it.
Our plan was
and
to
that's,
pull them as close as we
that's
could.
One thing that we have is we have a porta potty, which is really very nice. It's got hand washing devices and it's very clean.
Yeah, it's
and
very cool.
This is something that's been absent from other protests. I didn't think that Ed would be allowed to do this, but I'm really
bake some cookies.
I'm really impressed that he was. So, again, what happened was the two or three entrances to the county parking lot, which are open 24 hours a day. There's no gate. There's no chain. These are open. I'm not saying that you did. You did use the word gate. But there's no obstruction that requires somebody to open anything up. In fact, people are allowed to go in and out. But you say the deputy, he came over, he blocked the entranceway.
As they hit their turn signal, he became an instantaneous gate by flying across the parking lot to the appropriate
on foot?
Portal hole or whatever you want to call it.
On foot?
No, in the cruiser, dude,
okay.
Which is what he made the gate out of.
Okay.
He became a cruiser gate.
A cruiser gate. Yeah, sort of. So we don't have water gate, we have cruiser gate.
And then whooped his horn really fucking loud three times. Which, if these particular folks, that was more than enough signal to get the fuck out. They didn't want any trouble. They don't necessarily
like
want to be identified even. And they just split.
Sounds like illegal activity by the deputies. They're blocking the entranceway to a public area. The area's not closed
at
night.
They made it feel uncomfortable and unwelcome, I would say that much. Like I said, they didn't make personal contact, no orders were
exchanged.
Well,
if they blocked the driveway, then they intimidated them. That sounds like illegal behavior on the part of the sheriff. Next time that happens, I expect you to go up and take a picture of the sheriff.
It was a long ways away, first of all. It was all the way at the other end of the parking lot, and it was, you know, snuggled in sleep land way on the other side. But, I mean, I observed it clearly in an empty parking lot from, you know.
About what time of night was this?
Well, I almost precisely can guess because they kept a more or less mental log as the night went through, but I would say between 2 and 3 a.m.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight, I guess, and perhaps you will, too, out there if you come on down to the 701 Ocean Street. That's Ocean and Water in front of the county government building, the court building, where we will be chatting and then crashing out, and who knows what else will be happening. Little chess here, a little... who knows?
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing. It's about sleep. It's a sleep protest. So we go there to sleep. Working people are going to be going there to sleep. Let's keep it cool and and mellow. I don't think we need to, you know, get all heavy in the into defining it or rules or anything like that. Just treat your brother and sister like family, and you got it right there. You know,
there actually is an email I just got from Becky Johnson, who's been sleeping there every night. She's a writer on homeless issues. And she's got some voluntary guidelines for the peace camp that you might find of interest, Chris. Maybe you can comment on them.
I spoke with Becky before the show, and I have my comments, but I'm not going to comment on each individual one of them. I want to comment on the merit of even speaking about them. I want to comment on the merit of even bringing them up, because I think where we're at with this thing now is more holistic and organic. And, you know, I was there all night long. And, you know, when you have things like this in Santa Cruz, you are going to draw the occasional... wingnut would be the word I'd use, although I'm sure that's very politically incorrect, but mentally ill people. You're going to have all sorts of folks who are going to come over and check you out. We policed it very, very well. All situations were handled. There's no need to get all heavy about this. We want people to come and sleep, you know, and everybody can figure out, I think, on their own, common sense-wise, how to do that without affecting the rights of your fellow man and sister to sleep next to you. And just do that, and we'll be fine. I really feel what we need to concentrate on is why we're doing it, and keep clear that, you know, when you're doing it, I think the one thing that Becky pointed out that I really do like is where she mentions the media, and people should be aware, if you do come down, you're giving up your right to privacy. This is something that's going on in public, and we actually want the media to come down and take pictures. So, you know, whatever you're into, but just be aware that that's what we're at, and what, you know, what's, what, you know, act appropriately, and they're our friend. We don't want people going all bug-eyed on them. And, you know, beyond that, just, you know, be mellow, treat everybody cool. And,
well, I think that Becky is proposing this not as a series of rules. She describes it as a contract which people can agree to themselves, which they don't have to. I mean, people can sleep there without signing this contract. And but I think I find it an interesting contract. What she writes is, no one can tell anyone else what to do or how to live, but we can make contracts with each other. If you agree with this contract, sign it. The more we sign it, the more we can help to bring it about. We are saving lives here every day, so we want to be successful for as long as possible. These are my suggestions. I hope to take them up on an agenda item for Huff at the meeting today. And actually, we're going to be having a probably an impromptu Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting tonight at 8:30. One, first and foremost, our purpose here is to allow homeless people to sleep without being disturbed. So please do not disturb those who are already sleeping. If you wish to stay up and talk, the suggested area is in the lower steps near the porta-potties, but not necessarily in the porta-potty. Yes. Second, do alcohol or hard drugs somewhere else. Peace Camp 2010 is set up as a safe place to sleep.
Can I say something about that one?
Sure.
All right. Okay, let's use some common sense, folks. First of all, nobody there is going to act like a cop. And you know what? You can make all the rules you want, but if somebody's going to drink beer or shoot up down there, I'm not fucking saying nothing to them. But here's the thing, folks. Use some common sense. Number one, we just got done telling you we're trying to get the media down there to take pictures. Okay, number two, look around you where you're at. You're being recorded, or you might as well act as if you are. You are in the belly of the fucking beast, man. You're underneath this gigantic government building with endless glass that, you know, come on, as if they're not, you know, just use your head. And, you know, thirdly, you know, I would like to be able to see families come down there. I would like to create a family environment. So if you are compelled to do this crap, and I understand, whatever, then be uber discreet. Uber discreet. Act like you're in the middle of an FBI convention trying to shoot up or drink or whatever it is you're trying to get away with. And I think we'll be all right. Just, you know, nobody's going to be a cop. I want everybody to be welcome. And alcoholics need a place to sleep. Mentally ill people need a place to sleep. You know, and like we said, rich people and lawyers and doctors, whatever. We all need a place to sleep. So let's, you know, tolerance has to be the watchword, because these are the people who need the help, Robert. You know,
well said. First come, first serve is, in terms of location to set up, don't steal. Have everything really
neatly stowed and all trash picked up by 8 a.m. in the morning.
Now, can I say something about
sure.
that? That should be done continuously. If you get up to go take a leak and you see a couple of garbage on the way, pick it up. And this should not even have to wait until 8 a.m. The place should be uber neat 24/7 and not like the newspaper claims because we have something to prove. But that's because the way people live. And I don't think people need to be told that. All night long when I was getting up, I was picking stuff up just as I went to take a whiz or went to check the parking lot or whatever. I think this is something we can do continuously and not set a permanent time. Just keep your shit tight and neat and be aware it's a protest. You may have to pack in a moment's notice and leave. It's that simple.
Indeed. Do not block unlocked doorways, sidewalks, or wheelchair ramps at any time. 7, share your things.
Well, okay, now, that, you know, I'm sorry. That's where I draw the line. That sounds a little...
selfish.
Well, it sounds communistic, too, and I'm not there to prove anything. I'll share whatever the fuck I want, but... or not. I mean, I'm there to sleep. You know, that first and foremost, that's my point, and then, you know, then there, that gets into the outer layer of why we're all sleeping there together. And just... this is not People's Park in fucking Berkeley, folks. And we're not going to get away with puking on the sidewalks and doing the usual crap that you might get away with up in San Francisco or Oakland.
Okay, share our things was the issue that we were reading here. Right? But, so you believe in sharing what you want to share and not sharing what you don't want to share. That's fine. Don't fight. Another rule she proposes, or another suggestion, or another contract that perhaps can be made with people. Respect all sheriffs, deputies, bailiffs, court personnel, county building workers, maintenance staff, and members of the public who come to use daytime services. We want their support.
Well, so far we haven't been there during the day, and we haven't encountered a lot of them at night, so it's been pretty... it's been a pretty easy one to slide by. But, I mean, I think everybody's got to use their own judgment there, too. I mean, if... you know, if you mouth off to a cop, you're probably going to get in trouble. So, I mean, there you go. Everything's got its consequences.
Bring water and food whenever possible.
Now, that's a good one.
Beware the sprinklers. All lawns are heavily watered. Prepare in advance if sleeping on the lawn.
Well, I would recommend going a step further and just avoiding the grass altogether for two reasons, okay? One, because of the sprinklers and their erratic and very, very moisture-giving behavior. We can show you, just ask any of those that have done this more than a couple of nights, we'll be able to show you where to sleep to avoid them and avoid keeping your belongings here. The second reason to do this is they are uber proud of their grass, okay? The longer this goes on and the more people we get, the less damage that we do to those front steps and property, I think, the further we're going to get. And eventually, maybe the grass will get wrecked if we get hundreds of people down there, but... for now, you know, it's looking pretty good, and I say we just stay off in it for the most part.
Keep off the grass.
I don't see why not. I mean, it's already proved itself dangerous, so, you know, it's not good for you. You're not good for it. I say, you know, avoid it if you can, and that would be my advice.
At least for sleeping purposes. The world is watching. We can be the change that people want to see. Don't be an idiot.
Well, and again, that goes back to also... you know, be aware that you are being observed by multiple sources, you know. You have no expectation of privacy.
And then the point comes up, talk to media, allow all photographs, video, audio recordings. This is a public place and you have no expectation of privacy. You can ask not to be interviewed or photographed and they might respect your wishes, ask for their business card.
But they are under no obligation, no journalist is, and it's an often misconception amongst many people in the public who've never done any journalism or had to fight that particular battle. It's an important one to us journalists. We hold that sacred and dear that anything that takes place in the public sphere is subject to our record, and that's that. And that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the Third Estate. Get used to it and deal with it.
Bring sheets of cardboard to sleep on.
I disagree with this one, and I'm going to shoot this one down. I would not recommend that kind of crap. We're going to end up with more stuff than we can pick up with in the morning. Some of it's going to get left behind by those unable to deal with its disposal in the morning because of their various disabilities. I think everybody knows what they need to bring to sleep on hard stuff because we do this. For the most part, most of us do this. day in and day out. We sleep on hard stuff. We've got our bedrolls. We've got our equipment. If you are coming from a housed environment, this is what I was trying to say earlier, be thinking about this. You're going to be sleeping on concrete. So if you've got one of those cool, expensive camping pads because you've got nice camping equipment, bring it. Whatever. Be thinking about that. I mean, Ed Fry was out there with this beautiful purple mattress, I mean, laid out on the sidewalk. He was smart. He came equipped. So, you know, you're sleeping on concrete, you know, come accordingly.
Watch your stuff. Do not leave it laying all over the place. Keep your stuff confined to your bedroll area and try to keep that area somewhat tidy. The media will take photos of the messiest person and put that on the front page.
Yeah, she's got a point, but I find this whole direction of things to just be, I don't know, to be vaguely insulting, to be honest with you. I mean, it's like as if homeless people need to be told how to keep their shit neat because we're somehow different than maybe if yuppies and rich people down there and their shit would be neater, or maybe Boy Scouts or whoever else was camping out.
Well, you need training?
We live this way for a living, and there's some of us that are messy and some of us that are neat, but the thing is we all manage to keep our shit together with far less resources to do so than housed people or anybody else. I mean, I think everybody, what I saw was everybody kept their stuff together and they were rather quick to pack it up when they sensed that it was time and everybody was leaving. I mean, nobody wants to be the last man out of a party like that. And I think some of these, it was unnecessary for us to go quite into the codification of it like this. I think we can sum it up in a simpler way and an easier way, a more holistic way.
Smoking is allowed in the area. Please use some of the last existing public ashtrays in the city of Santa Cruz.
Yeah, again, I didn't see a big problem with that, but yes, obviously, you know, put your butts in the right place. Right?
There are no laws against under county code against sitting down, lying down, or sleeping. There is no county code which outlaws covering up with a blanket. The no camping areas of the county do not include the courtyard grounds. Technically, camping is legal.
Well, there's Becky Johnson's legal opinion of what we're doing. We'll see how it pans out and what everybody else's legal opinion of what we're doing is. I think these are some things that maybe at the Huff meeting will get discussed later on, and these are things that I think that are going through, especially those of us who take this kind of thing very seriously. I spent the whole afternoon thinking about these sorts of things. I would like to see us stay focused on a couple of basic premises. Come and sleep. We're going to do the best we can. As local activists, we've all lived here various amounts of time. We know each other. We know the system as best we can. What we're trying to do is pretty basic. We want to give, right now, at least, people a safe place to sleep. And we'll do the best we can. I mean, I'm not swearing on a stack of Bibles that everything's going to be okay, but we're going to do the best we can. And we'll try to make it attractive and as healthy and sanitary as possible. Come and sleep, and let's see what develops here. I mean, I think this is a fantastic thing. I think it should continue. I think Ed Fry indicated when me and Robert and him spoke on the courthouse steps briefly before we all parted ways this morning. I think we all agreed that if Ed comes, I'm going to come. If the shitter rolls in on the trailer, I'm there. And let's go with it. And we have the whole point of what the newspaper missed in the editorial this morning. We're not there. We know where to go, Robert, if we want to challenge them and get arrested. We know where City Hall is. They acted like we're idiots and we didn't know where to protest in the right spot. We know what we're doing. We're not trying to go there with this. This isn't an in-your-face, we're trying to obstruct something kind of protest. What we want to do is make a sanctuary, gather people together, and show just how many really cool, really normal people whose lives this is affecting in such a negative way that they feel the only safe place to sleep is the courthouse steps. And I think if we stick with that for the time being, at least, the simplicity of it, and just come, and we'll gather. We'll gather in love. We'll treat each other as if we were brothers and sisters, because that's what we are. And if we do that, we got it right there. That's it. It's that simple.
Sounds good to me. I'm going to take a brief musical break
right
now. And it looks like we may be having a little dead air here, but here's a live caller. Hey there, caller. You're on free radio.
Robert.
Yes.
I was just wondering, did I miss the part of your show where you were talking about the Oscar Grant verdict?
You did. That was at the it was at the very beginning of the show, actually.
Oh, okay. I just thought maybe you were...
Yeah, we were actually...
You were ignoring it because, you know, you were...
No,
we covered the local
angle. Too involved in your own deal. No, tomorrow. Well, we are concerned, of course, about our own deal.
We even covered the local angle, Uncle Dennis. I went out and got a report.
That is not Uncle Dennis. That's Scott, actually. Yeah, Scott. You know, we're there's a protest tomorrow at noon. In case you want to join it in front of the Del Mar Theater against the verdict, if you're interested.
In front of the Del Mar Theater.
That is
why,
correct.
Why the Del Mar Theater?
Got me.
All places.
Yeah, we're not.
So no one's protesting at the town clock tonight or anything.
Not as far as not what was announced on Indy Bay noon tomorrow.
When I was coming home tonight, it seemed like there was an awful lot of cops around.
They're everywhere in every kind of.
Like they're
possible.
Expecting protest or something.
Yes, they are. Apparently, especially in the downtown area.
There was actually two cops standing on the corner right there by the liquor store. Are you still there?
I'm here. Yeah, we're
okay.
Here.
I just all of a sudden it seemed like they went dead or something.
No.
Sorry, that's happening to water.
You're not your normal verbose self. Right. Anyway, all right, well, I'll let you get back to your show as it is.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, so I'm having a little problem here because I really am enjoying the show, and I'm really appreciating Chris's being here.
Wait, are you throwing me out? Are you weeding up something
here? Not quite, Chris. Actually, what I'm doing is... I think your mic was turned way down, so you were thrown out for the last 2 or 3 minutes. But
probably
by mistake.
I'm having problems here, Mike.
Yeah, I'm having problems with doing a backup of the show because these shows are not being regularly archived. That's not happening anymore for some reason. And the only archives we have of the shows are the ones that we're creating now. And since that archive
just
for
us, so.
Yeah, I think it's
it really is.
Yeah, I think it's a good.
I know as a broadcaster.
I mean, I think it's really an important show that we're having tonight, and some of the things you're saying are very well said and need to be. Oh yeah, need to be saved, and so.
He's buttering
I'm afraid. I'm afraid. However, we may not have saved them. I think there's been a problem here with the equipment, and we may have lost both the studio version and the. So you listeners out there are having the rare experience of a unique, it's like the life of a butterfly. It lives and then it dies in an instant, and that's this show. What you're hearing may not be archived.
Dude, I'm starting to get, like, scared, man. I don't know. You're creeping me out.
I'm serious, man.
I'm getting creeped out. I'm all locked up in this little hot studio.
It's
now
a little scary.
Like
it's a little
here,
scary. But I think we may be okay.
What are we going to talk about now, Uncle Robert?
Well, I've got plenty of things to talk about. And I think what we were discussing, we'll continue talking about, which is the proposed contract suggestions that Becky Johnson has. And we'll be discussing. For those who are interested, come on, join the Huff discussion. It'll be in front of the county building at probably about 8:30 tonight is, I guess, when the Huff meeting is likely to happen. So that's...
And for the love of God, if you've got resources, bring some food. Because they are a lot of poor people down there, and food would be the only thing beyond coming to sleep that we would ask of you if you have it. So,
food is a good thing to have.
Food is a wonderful thing.
Food
if
is
you
good.
Got it, bring it on.
Indeed. So I think we're back trying to record at least segments of this show for posterity, and we'll see how we do. We've got about 20 minutes left in the show. The phone lines are 427-3772, and that's actually, there are two of them, but let's stick with that one, 427-3772. Give a call if you've got some thoughts on this. Were you at the protest? Did you enjoy it? Are you not coming because you think it's a bad idea? It's not sufficiently radical? It's too radical? Please give a call, 427-3772. Last of the suggestions that Becky Johnson has for a contract that people might want to sign if they're into that sort of thing is, our success depends on not generating complaints or ill will towards city staff. Focus our criticism on the city government and city police as the main obstacles to ending the sleeping and blanket bans.
Okay, and that brings us right to the head of, you know, if you're curious, beyond... coming there to sleep, if you are curious about what this is all about, you know, the big Y of it in capital letters, then there you go. That I can't think of any sentence that better sums it up. And I think if we, again, if we keep it simple, keep our focus directly on that, keep our eye on the ball, all we're asking of you is to come and sleep and nothing more. And yes, that's the point we're trying to prove.
You don't even have to come and sleep.
That's the point we're trying to make.
You know, you can actually come and just visit.
Yeah, well,
come and visit if you want.
Last night, in fact, we had a lot of visitors even after you went to sleep, Uncle Robert. So,
last point is 19, all are welcome. There is no way that we could discriminate legally from those who come to get hard to read this. From those who come to get over it, to bring about peace, we must ourselves be peaceable. We can accomplish great things with Peace Camp 2010 if we keep our eyes on our prize and don't give up until we win.
Well, and I would just emphasize that point for Becky and just say, you know, tolerance, again, is a broad, broad, heavy word in Santa Cruz. A lot goes on here. One of the reasons why we have, and how do I put this delicately, the sorts of strange people and the sorts of disabled people that we may get at an event like this and in the homeless population in general is because this is one of the few communities that they can come and feel even marginally safe. And so there's a lot of them. And I say get the fuck over it. It's going to be weird. It's going to, you know, we'll deal. I dealt with a lot of folks last night, and some of them were in a mood to be rather difficult. But we got through it. You know what I mean? And we can get through it.
Hi, you're on the air with Chris and Robert.
Hello.
Hello.
What is that?
Hello, can you hear me?
A little bit. You're a bit distorted. Is this the ever-pretentious Drum Circle Dave? I'm afraid Dave.
7010 Ocean Street. A lot of people gathered here, and
Don't cut him off.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry about that, Dave. I mean, Dave, you know, I get the feeling you need your own show. You know,
wow.
I mean, it's a.
Needs a nap.
No, Dave is I think trying to make an amusing and a sort of satirical presentation. But I don't know. I didn't quite make it for me. And and also it's a little hard to hear. So.
Yep.
Let's hear a little more of the interviews because we're running out of time. We got a letter of support from David Bush of Southern California, who's really a famous activist in my book, not very famous perhaps in most people's books. But I'll be reading his stuff on Sunday when we'll be doing a longer show and, of course, having Mike Rutkin and Ed Fry doing their debate at 11 o'clock on the air on Sunday.
Be here. I haven't heard my invitation to be here. I'll come for
Well, we might tolerate you. You know, it's possible. Or possibly you could moderate and you could tolerate me. It's hard to say what the story might be here.
Well, we won't go there, Robert. You don't want to go there. Not on your show.
Continuing with the street interviews. Assuming I can do the proper.
We are so good technically in this studio. We are smooth like glass.
I've
on
got
this
it together.
Board,
I have
baby.
Got it together, baby.
Put the damper on the 4th of July, but it keeps it at least safer for the fires,
Well, this should be the only place in town that doesn't have explosions going on.
Well, no, and I appreciate that, you know, and I know you guys were going to be here, and I said I just wanted to come by and say hello.
Okay.
And that kind of thing. What's Dougie's name?
Nico.
Who?
Shy doggy.
Oh yeah, that's right. She smells different things. So
the
I volunteer with Native Elmer Rescue, so probably smells a raccoon on me.
The court is closed tomorrow, right? That's the story.
Yes, the county building is closed tomorrow for the holiday.
So there's no problem with us parking here and so forth.
Well, just as long as probably not in a handicap and that kind of stuff. That's always a sensitive thing. So
how about the loading zone? Because nothing is to be loaded because nobody's
here. I don't run traffic. I don't think the traffic's going to be here. I don't see a problem. But the disabled parking places is probably.
Exactly. Yeah, that's always something that's always a good thing to do. So, hi.
Thank you for coming up and checking in here, and we intend to have a very peaceful event.
Not a doubt in my mind at all. So I just wanted to come by and say.
Well, there is a war in Afghanistan. Let's keep that in mind.
That's in Afghanistan, not just.
That's true.
it's a concern, obviously.
And this is the July 4th, first night of the protest, sort of having a friendly chat with the deputy who came by.
But I'm not worried about you guys. I just want to come by and say, well, I think this is a great idea with bringing this here and that kind of stuff.
There's hand washing on the other side.
Pointing to the porta potty.
Oh, good. All right. We guys have a safe night. Hopefully it doesn't get too drizzly on you and that kind of stuff. So, do you mind if I ask what your intentions are as far as the future? Are you going
to
hear?
8 a.m. to 8 a.m. each day.
Okay.
Until we can get some resolution of the sleeping problem.
Okay.
And the problem that the police go out, the Santa Cruz City Police go out every night and roust a lot of people who are innocent.
Okay.
They're innocent because there's no public shelter space available.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we're here, because this court is the place that can set them straight. But they, so far, are dragging their heels.
Okay.
We're here to speed them up.
Okay, sounds good. And I'm sorry, what was your first name?
Ed.
Okay, it's very nice to meet you, Ed.
You
guys be safe tonight and have a good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Thank you.
And it's about 5 to 9 out here in the... at the courthouse at 701 Ocean Street, and we have a crowd of, I would say, about 10 of us. There's Becky, Gary, Ed, Free, Coral, Joe Schultz, Lee, and a guy whose name I've forgotten. Who's the
Orbit.
And Orbit, yes, he is Orbit. I knew he had an unusual name. And, of course, there's Nico the Pooch, who's here as well.
Who's unimpressed by the police.
Unimpressed. A little bit intimidated, I think. A little bit nervous. Maybe just a stranger. I don't think it was the uniform that bothered Nico. You say, Joe, that you were on the beach today and you saw a rather... you found it a kind of a dispiriting sight of a lot of beaches.
Lots of fences and lots of cops and, lots of frisking people and all this sort of stuff for their own safety, their own good.
Did you get frisked yourself?
I was just driving by.
And was there a long line of people waiting humbly to be frisked?
Everyone pretty much.
This is India Joe Schultz, who was providing food the first night, and he'll be opening his new restaurant, India Joe's, shortly. And I guess he was talking about his, concern of all the police activity, the fences along the beach, everybody being frisked and people kind of, accepting it. You mentioned, Chris, that you found the North Beach area had a lot of of police presence, perhaps?
It was very, very happening up there. It's always...
justified police presence or not?
Frenzied and far outnumbered, I would say. You have the one time of year, probably the only time of year that I can think of as somebody who lives up there full time, when you've got tens of thousands of people on that very last stretch north of Davenport. Tens of thousands. And what they did this year was just absolutely off the charts militant. They closed off massive sections of parking lot.
The tens of thousands of people, the police department.
The police department closed off massive areas that are normally used for parking for these folks who were doomed to come. They can't
justifiably or not, your mind?
No, I don't believe so. At the behest of the residents of Davenport, who got tired of seeing their beach trashed. But the thing that they don't tell you about that is that when 5,000 or 6,000 people within a 2-mile area right there facing Davenport on Route 1 gather, where are they going to buy their ice? Where are they going to buy their beer? Where are they going to buy their burgers? Those merchants there on the front road of Davenport Road make, so there's a little bit of a mess afterwards. That shit happens, but, I don't know. No, I don't think it was justified. And see, a lot of local...
The fencing off of the beaches.
The fencing off the beaches.
And the searching of people coming in and out.
The ones that were open,
Well, that's what Joe Schultz was upset about, and which he talked to us about. I'll play a little bit more.
It was like a siege.
In the midst of this, as far as I can tell, it's like...
It's not a police state, it is a security state.
Sure, It's not oppression if we agree to it.
Yeah, that's a little different. You see, I mean, as long as everybody says, yeah, boy, or if you will, hail, then all will be well. So you say they're also, it's the access to the beaches, the fences are all the way up to 7th Avenue, or what?
Yeah, well, no, they're actually beyond that. There's the 26th Avenue beach is fenced off. There's sheriffs patrolling. They're gonna shut down this, or they're going to try to shut down this illegal celebration.
Yeah, well, you can't be too careful. I mean, independence is fine as long as they don't carry it too far.
Right, exactly.
You know, we want to make sure those colonists, shall we say, stay in the fold. Anything else you've noticed? I mean, have you noticed are any people objecting to this, all this police presence? Have you seen any mutterings of discontent?
People seem somewhat dispirited by it, but just sort of beaten down because, you know, if you make trouble, then you get trouble, you know, and that's basically what people are feeling they want to avoid, is any kind of trouble. It's amazing how people can be pushed around with that.
You suggested to Mayor Rotkin that he withdraw from all police agency activity and declare the area a free and independent zone.
What an idea. They're doing it for our safety. It was explained to me that ambulances couldn't get through a couple of years ago, and so they want to make sure the ambulances will be able to get through.
Well, therefore, it's a protective measure. I don't see what you're complaining about, Mr. Schultz.
Well, that's the point, I guess. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
What indeed. So I see you brought a whole bucket load or barrel full of soup, and we have a pittance of people here. Does this dispirit you?
No, the soup will stay hot longer. And, you know, too much is a feast, as they say.
Well put. Good call.
Yeah,
something like that. Any final concluding words to your fans out there who are waiting to see if you, too, will be served a citation for participating in last New Year's DIY parade, Mr. Lawbreaker?
Yes, well, you too could request your ticket from the police. If you were inexplicably overlooked by the forces that gave out tickets to all the malefactors who walked down Pacific.
You can request a ticket.
You can request a ticket.
Do we know how many people are actually requesting or demanding citations from City Attorney John Barisoni?
I don't have those numbers. I don't know.
I haven't heard it either. Wes Modes, who's, of course, being targeted on this issue by the police department, is not being very public about it. I find that unfortunate, but, you know, perhaps there'll be more information forthcoming later.
Hopefully we'll know when after his hearing.
And what we're talking about here is the forthcoming trial of Wes Modes, who's the guy behind our supporter of the Guerrilla Theater, an activist who helped create the Sub Rosa coffee shop, the Trash Orchestra DIY parade. And he's going to be going on trial for participating in a parade without a permit on New Year's Eve. I don't want to go into it in any detail, but I'm just mentioning it briefly. Do you want to say anything at all?
No, he's an all-around nice guy.
He's an all-around nice guy. Come on.
Do you know?
He hasn't. I think it's in mid-July.
Uh-huh.
Could be coming up as soon as July 12th or July 16th, depending on, I guess, when a trial finishes, some other trial. I'm not sure what that is. But the trial of Ana Richardson and Miguel de Leon has been postponed until August, the injunction hearing that they were doing after that. The city attorney called 23 prosecution witnesses, the defense called 2, and the attorneys were really fuming. The defense attorneys were fuming at this incredible expenditure of resources for these. Essentially, they wanted to show that these two slept outside repeatedly in violation of the Santa Cruz sleeping ban. But what else is new? I mean, strange thing to spend a lot of energy on. But they're trying to make a point that they are against this unlawful behavior, just like the city council is making a point by passing a law next week, Tuesday, that makes the fourth unattended infraction that you have of any kind a misdemeanor at the option of the city council, which means if you smoke downtown, get a ticket, sit near the building of some kind, get a ticket, sleep outside, get a ticket. The next time a police officer finds you violating any kind of law, of however minor, you can go to jail and be charged with a misdemeanor punishable by up to a year in jail and $1,000 fine. That passed unanimously.
That's provided you haven't attended to those infractions after they've reached court.
City Council last Tuesday and it will presumably pass unanimously again a week from Tuesday when that second Tuesday council meeting in July hits us. So all is well in Santa Cruz, and luckily we're well supplied with soup tonight. So thank you. Calling for a common conversation here in front of the sleeping van sleep out, and some people have laid out their bedding here on the concrete. I'm wandering over to sit next to the leader of the sleep out, or the camp out, or the peace camp. So what is this conversation you want to have here, Ed?
A conversation about starting a conversation. That's what we need to do in this country, is have conversation on a regular basis, every 30 days.
We're talking with Ed Fry.
Citizen and office holder. That's what we need to do. That's what it's
I'm aware of your crackpot ideas, Fry, and I frankly, I'll move a little closer to you, Cracky. Moving down here.
We're hearing all these fireworks that we can't hardly hear.
See, I actually brought along some, not fireworks, but some legal fireworks, which we might want to show our solidarity with the American mainstream culture.
Well, they're not legal here. They're only...
Drum Circle Dave has arrived. Hi, Dave.
Hello out there in Santa Cruz.
How's the soup?
Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful Joe Schultz soup, man. Oh.
Look, another police car. They're beginning to pass through the lot with more frequency than before. Well, there you have it. Police are keeping an eye to make sure that the public is protected here on this 4th of July. I'm trying some of this tasty soup here. Very good. I wish you could be here, folks, sipping this, crunching on this good soup. You say you're also concerned about another city council action coming up.
Yeah, well, the city council is apparently going to clamp down on what they see as unregulated rental business. And they're going to make everyone register and get inspected and pay fees and pay licenses and so forth and so on, which, of course, will put just that much more of a squeeze on the already desperate housing situation in Santa Cruz. The city sees this as a revenue stream, and of course it'll criminalize another huge group of people. That
isn't this a way of protecting the tenants from unscrupulous landlords who aren't bringing their buildings up to code?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who would be glad to have a place to live that wasn't up to code if it was something I could afford. This is an unpopular position in some cases. I just don't think laws are a very good way to handle this. I mean, it works both ways, because tenants who are living in illegal dwellings sometimes blackmail their landlords by telling them, well, if you make me pay rent, I'll turn you in. And so the city is claiming by licensing this all that the tenants won't be able to do that. But, of course, it will give the city that much more leverage to, force their ideas about what acceptable dwellings are. They're on the rest of us. So it's a dismaying prospect, because either the choices for landlords to refuse a license and just hope that they avoid some huge fine, or else pass on the cost of the license to their tenants.
Now, is this likely to pass city council unanimously, as most of this shit does?
That's my impression, that they're not expecting any real discussion about it.
You talk to your old pal... do you have any old pals on the city council?
Oh, I think I have several. I think they're all so friendly.
But they're all going to vote for the same.
I gathered. I mean, of course, they would say their hands are tied. They have no other way to raise money and so forth and so on. So it's another dismaying prospect of more regulation and more layers of governmental overhead that we all get to pay for.
But full disclosure, you yourself are a landlord, are you not? With perhaps a substandard unit. Note this well, City Council. Joe Schultz.
It's possible. I mean, Lord knows that if I get to pay for an inspection, that who knows how I will fare. But
fair enough. Yeah. We've been talking with
Joe Schultz.
Thank you, Joe.
And that's coming up at the next city council meeting, along with the fourth infraction, and you are a misdemeanor guy. And we're reaching the end of our show. This gives Chris an opportunity to say this.
Oh, I bet the listeners are happy. What comes next?
Well, if you haven't had enough of me and Chris, you can come down to the sleep out, the peace
Please,
camp
I
that's
would,
happening
you know,
in front of the county building. I hear a knock at the door.
That's a secret knock.
It's a secret knock is at the door. So apparently there's some sort of musical guy is coming in to do his show. I suppose we're going to have to... oh dear, we have a, he's bringing a mayor's proclamation with him. Have you been doing the two-step with Rotkin again? You know, he's going to be in the studio on Sunday along with Ed Frye.
I wanted to have this up so he would show that.
Uncle Dave.
Well, it's a proclamation.
He didn't need to be available to present it.
No, I'm the one who took it in his behalf, along with a pie and the pusser, I might add. That's the second time I've taken a pie and the pusser for Rotkin, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, it was your choice.
I suppose.
You did raise how much money? $75?
No, it was $8, I believe.
$8.
They're pretty pathetic, I must say. We're referring to an event that happened at the Free Radio Santa Cruz benefit of a couple months back, and we want to get into it at this time. Anyway, I think that's about it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides today. So, Chris, any final words before we...
I would as you said, please come on down. I'm going to keep it simple in my heart. That's how I'm approaching this whole thing, but I am also on board. I think this is a cool thing, and... come on down and support the cause, man. Let's see what happens together, man.
I couldn't agree more. Now, Uncle Dennis is, of course, going to be coming in from the cream to the dregs, dragging it up, so to speak.
Uncle Dennis is my hero. I hope he knows.
I don't know. He should know it now. It's been made perfectly clear.
He's been one of my heroes in broadcasting for a lot of years now.
Really?
Actually, yes.
Well,
I
think some of us feel very strongly about Uncle Dennis one way or another, and you know. We're glad.
I noticed it's kind of warm in here. When he came in, it was strong, but you know, it's close quarters. Man.
Close quarters.
Give guy a break.
Well, you know, maybe what we should do is get Uncle Dennis to give us a CD so we can stop talking. We got a caller. All right, then.
We got 60 seconds.
Hey there, you're on Free Radio with actually Uncle Dennis, Uncle Robert, and Aunt. No, no, it's Uncle Uncle Chris.
Ooh, watch yourself.
Hey. Hello.
Hey, Rob. Good to talk to you. This is a police report. The drum circle was raided yesterday as we put the dispersant out. All the drummers were leaving, and the Santa Cruz police did show up at about dusk.
Okay, and what happened? Any tickets?
I don't know at this point. We'll get an update next drum circle, let you know. But it all worked out, and everybody was happy, and we all left real happy.
Well, I noticed a lot of drummers were happening. I mean, there was a gathering of people there as I drove by this evening, about 20 people at the same place where the drum circle has become a regular kind of spot, which I guess some drummers don't like and others think is just great. I think it's fine that people have found a place to gather, but Sergeant Harms doesn't.
Well, I think that's great, too. It's just when they were all doing other things, you know, we couldn't deal with that, but now we're starting to meld together.
Sounds good, as Drum Circle Day. Maybe we'll see you at the... peace camp tonight, big boy?
Hey, I hope you all have fun. I can't make it there. I'm taking care of something else tonight. But say hi to everybody. And, hey, peace camp, Woodstock, whatever, man. All you musicians get down there and have a good time. And all you homeless people, too, and hungry people. There's a bunch up there, and feed them all.
Thank you. And that's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'll be back on Sunday, as will Mike Rotkin. It's going to be happening, and you can be there if you have. Well, assuming that the transmitter is still transmitting, I understand we are still looking for a place for our orphan transmitter, and that is.
Don't work. The feds are going to wrap us and shoot us.
Apparently, the landlord is having a problem with it.
It's cheaper than welcome.
Federal harassment. So, if you have a place, as we might say, on the west side, the north side, or the east side, not downtown, with a roof or a tree, we can put our antenna in. It has to be a dry lock, secure space for the transmitter.
Not our studio. It's just the transmitter.
Right. You're not going to have people trooping in and out at the odd hours of the day and night with weird-looking homeless people and other questionable individuals. So it's going to be it is a place to put up an antenna and have a little kind of a locked shed. And Uncle Dennis will be telling you more about that during his show. Again, I want to thank you for being
I'm sure they're so well aware of it.
This edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and you will Well, I don't know. Those of you who listen, there may be some people who haven't heard of our needs because this is a unique station. I like, I get a chance to mouth off. You get a chance to hear me. And Uncle Dennis can play ancient tunes unheard for 42 years.
But he gets to drink really cool beer. I mean, come on.
And he has his really cool beer. This alcoholic obsession I find difficult to understand, but then again, what do I know? You know, heavens to me.
Some people drink water, Robert.
Indeed, some do. Like all of America. In fact, all of the world.
Some people travel...
water, buddy.
Some people travel to the far ends of the earth to a particular spring to drink the water out of that place. Me, I have the advantage of going down to the nearest liquor store and picking up a straight
You
beer.
Drunken slut. I have nothing more to do with you. All right, let's put on some music, shall we?
God, not tonight. Yeah, I like my coffee sweet in the morning, little girl. And I'm crazy about my tea at night.
And yes, there is someone in the studio. Uncle Dennis here on a Thursday evening, still trying to get rid of Robert. He's having trouble with his USB thumb drive. Oh, well. Unfortunately, you'll have to listen to it all over again if you want to do that on his website, huff.org. Is that it?
HuffSantaCruz.org.
As if there was a Huff anywhere else.
Well, there is only one.
Well, I mean, do you really give a Huff? But Robert, of course, will be back on Sunday morning at 9:30 or earlier if it's unfortunate.
With Uncle Mike Rotkin and
Ed Fry and Mike Rotkin. You want to put plastic down in the studio before that show?
I mean, it'll
help clean up the mess. I don't know. Anyway, unfortunately, your current sleeping band sit-in is an illegal sleeping area, or at least a quasi unhassled sleeping area.
Well, they all have these theories. I'm glad they're allowing we'll see what happens.
Well, what do you want to happen?
I want to see the end of the sleeping ban
in Santa Cruz or Santa Cruz County?
Safe and legal areas in the Santa Cruz City area.
Santa Cruz City. Okay.
Right, but also, I mean, if there are areas in the county that are close enough in for people to use, that's acceptable, too. I mean, I don't want to be too picky here, you know.
Anywhere except the free radio studios.
Well, that's your idea, Dennis. I myself have allowed people to slumber on at different points.
While you were in attendance, I hope.
Yes. Well, and sometimes when I got to the studio, they were sleeping.
There were people. Yes, well, anyway.
Yes.
And we suspect some people actually sleep while they're on the air.
Some people are sleeping while I'm talking, which is really kind of unforgivable. But that happens. You know?
Well. Anyway, you're supposed to be listening to From the Cream to the Dregs, and we will attempt to bring that to you for the next 3 hours. Right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1, www.freakradio.org. And we've got more music. About 20 minutes from now, we'll be opening up this week's Brew of the Week. And then, of course, at 9 o'clock, we'll have the Earth First Update. And at 10 o'clock, the Spotlight Group of the Week. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello.
Speak.
How are you doing?
You're on the air.
Well, I'm...
If you call while I'm talking, you get on the air.
Am I on the air? I'm calling. I'm your fan from Los Angeles.
Yes, you've successfully introduced yourself.
Okay, well, thank you. And
you listen on www.freakradio.org.
That is true, and I've had it with Robert.
Yes?
I've had it with him.
Well, speak up.
I am not going to listen to the Sunday show.
No?
No, I'm going to go to Universal City and spend 3 hours in an absolutely corporate environment where there are no homeless people.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, this is the new radicalism.
Well, I mean, you're breaking out of your shell.
So to speak.
So to speak. By the way, long-term fan means that this listener has been listening not only to Uncle Dennis's show for many years, but for many other shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz. He's well-known to some of our other broadcasters here.
Well, thank you for the plug, and I guess I'll have the hit on my... Okay, Uncle Dennis, I wish you well.
Thank you very much.
And I will listen to your show.
All right.
And by the way, it has been overcast and cold in Los Angeles.
Well, it's been overcast and cold here in Santa Cruz. We got some sun today, but...
It is because Al Gore cheated on his wife.
Al Gore cheated on his wife?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You actually believe that woman who came to give him a massage was inappropriately touched?
I will believe anything that has caused...